Why are you stopping here, guy?
Is this the right road?
Yes, yes. Let me sleep, boy.
Oh, my God. No!
July 1962. After living for nearly 2 years in Cairo, I had brought my son Guy to enter the University of Ghana in Accra. For the first 2 days after our arrival, we had laughed out loud at the pleasure of being in Ghana. On the third day, Guy accepted an invitation to go on a drive into the countryside. On the way back, the driver of the car was so drunk that Guy had to take the wheel.
Darling, how are you today?
Mother, Richard is here again.
Hello, Sister Maya.
Guy's arm and leg were fractured, and his neck was broken. Weeks had turned to months as he lay calmly in a prison of plaster.
Mother, Richard spoke to you.
Still drunk, 2 months on, the man who had caused the accident stood swaying at the foot of Guy's bed. He had walked away unhurt. My whole body still yearned to wring his scrawny neck.
Hello, Richard.
I'm sorry, Sister Maya. So sorry. If it could only be me there on that bed.
If only. Goodbye, Richard.
I will come again tomorrow, Guy.
I began quickly to unload the basket of food I had brought.
Mother, I know I am your only child, but you must remember, this is my life, not yours. If I can see Richard and understand that he has been more hurt than I, what about you? Didn't you mean all those sermons about tolerance?
Of course I meant them in theory, but not about a brute who had endangered my son's life.
Yes, I meant it.
I know you did, Mother. You're just upset now. Don't worry anymore. I'm gonna get out of here soon.
I made bitterness into a wad and swallowed it.
You're right, darling. I won't be upset anymore.
Trying utterly, I could not match Guy's stoicism. I had nothing to offer the world but a long face and a self-pitying heart. Since the accident, I had become a shadow walking the white-hot street, a dark specter in the hospital. Had I been less timid, I would have cursed God. I raged inside myself like a blinded bull in a metal stall. My son and I had been each other's home and center for 17 years, and now I felt as if I had lived my entire life as the bereft mother of a seriously injured child. When Julian and Anna Mayfield allowed me to store my books and clothes at their house, I gave my host only perfunctory thanks and moved into a tiny room at the local YWCA.
Maya, there you are. Come along.
Julian stood waiting for me in the lobby.
What?
Come on, I'm taking you for a drive.
Julian Mayfield was an old friend from New York, a respected intellectual who had had books published in the United States before coming to live in Ghana.
I'm taking you to meet somebody you should know. Now, Maya, somebody needs to tell you you have to give up this self-pity. You're letting yourself go. Everybody understands as much as anyone can understand another's pain, but you've forgotten to be polite. Don't forget your background. Your mother didn't raise you in a doghouse.
How do you know my business so well? Was that my daddy visiting your mother all those times he left our home?
You know about defending yourself. All you have to do now is to remember. Sometimes you have to defend yourself from yourself. Ah, here we are.
Effort Sutherland, poet, playwright, teacher, and head of Ghana's National Theater, in whose grounds we had parked, could have posed for the original bust of Nefertiti. She sat motionless as Julian recounted my dreadful tale.
Meyer is a writer. She worked for Martin Luther King. She lived in Cairo for a couple of years, supported the freedom fighters of South Africa. Then she and her son came to Accra so he could go to university. He was in a terrible accident, nearly died. She's been tending to him ever since, taking it all to heart. She's pretty much alone here. She needs to talk to a woman. And pretty soon she'll need a job.
She looked at me carefully, as though she was absorbing all of me.
Sister Maya, we will see about a job, but now you have need of a sister friend.
I had not cried since the accident. I had helped to lift Guy's inert body onto the X-ray table at the first hospital, had assisted in carrying his stretcher to an ambulance for transfer to another hospital. I had slept, awakened, walked, and lived in a thick atmosphere which only allowed shallow breathing and routine motor behavior.
You need a sister friend because you need to weep. And you need someone to watch you while you weep. Leave her with me, Julian.
Efwa sent Julian away with assurances that she would drive me to the hospital.
That's it.
She stroked my face. The faucet, once opened, had to drain itself. I had no power over its flow.
I'm sorry. I can't stop. Oh.
Let it out, Sister Maya. Let it out.
And under her gentle gaze, I was at last freed to cry out all the bitterness and self-pity of the last few months. When at last I was finished, she offered me her handkerchief.
Dry your tears, sister. Now, you must eat and drink and replenish yourself.
We drove to her home, where I ate as generously as I had cried, and afterwards in the garden.
From now on, you are not alone. I myself will be at the hospital tomorrow. Your son is now my son. He has two mothers in this place.
I felt cool and refreshed, as if I had just gone swimming in Bethesda's pool and my cares had been washed away in its healing waters. At the hospital, Guy was recovering well and had started to lumber along the corridor.
See? I told you, didn't I?
You did. That's wonderful, Guy.
I smiled at strangers and took notice of buildings and streets. And at Flagstaff House, the seat of government, I saw Africans with such authority enter and leave the formal buildings, it made me tremble with awe. We were capable of controlling our own cities and selves with elegance and success. Efwa helped me find a job as an administrator at the university. When Guy was released from the hospital, the community of Black American immigrants opened and fitted us into their lives as if they had been saving our places. We'd gather on warm evenings and sit on Julian's porch.
Hi, Maya. Guy.
Hi.
And how are you this evening, Guy?
Better than I was yesterday, and not as good as I will be tomorrow.
This tight-knit group of expats included a sociologist, historian, artist, plumber, journalist, and union organizer. We had all brought with us our various talents, energies, vigor, and a terrible yearning to be accepted.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've decided I'm going to call us the Revolutionist Returnees.
We who have come home to Africa.
Yes, sing it, baby.
And if home was not what we expected, never mind. Ghanaians were too busy adoring their flag and 5-year independence from Britain to notice us.
Once they get to know us, they'll want us here.
And after
Some travelers had expected welcome banners, smiling officials to cover them in ribbon and clasp them to their breast with sincerity.
In the bosom of Mother Africa.
But on arrival, we had little impact on anyone but ourselves. Since we were descendants of African slaves torn from the land, we had returned home to work hard and produce and snuggle down.
In the land of milk and honey, the folks sing about in church back home.
I adore Ghana. Not just the politics, but the people. The way the women here walk, so graceful and straight-backed, reminds me of my grandma in Arkansas, Sunday-hatted on her way to church.
And they love their president, Kwame Nkrumah. Man who surpasses man.
I'm Rich Cuts.
The way he unified the country when he got them to detribalize, Fanti, Chui, Ashanti, Ga, and Ewe all consider themselves Ghanaian first. That's pretty amazing.
And under no circumstance did we mention any disillusionment at being overlooked by the Ghanaians. Several weeks later, Guy, wearing a metal and leather neck brace, enrolled in the university and moved happily into Mensa Saba Dormitory Hall. I was surprised and delighted to find that being alone brought a deeply satisfying bliss.
Norai! What far country you people get?
Vicky and I were having lunch at the YWCA.
You think you is England? You think you is German?
A 6-foot-tall, huge woman with West African dress and beautifully wrapped head tie stood in the middle of the room, looking very angry.
Where is the rice?
She was demanding rice. I sympathized. My grandmother never felt the table was properly set until the filled rice bowl was placed in its usual spot.
You got your Black Star Square, you got your university, but you got no rice, you people.
Excuse me.
Ma, where are you going?
I'll be right back.
I went through the private door into the kitchen.
Uncle, there is a woman out there dying for rice.
Rice tonight for dinner.
The woman will go back to her home thinking Ghanaians are mean.
Let her go. Anyway, where is she from?
Sierra Leone.
What? I thought she was a Black American. Sierra Leone people can't live without rice. I will bring her some.
Thank you, Uncle.
20 minutes later,
don't have like we are in England.
The woman was still talking to the air when the chef placed a platter of rice on her table.
People need to eat. At last you bring rice. Thank you.
Bravo, Uncle. Well done, Maya.
I had begun to settle in, even if I still had a lot to learn about the country I now called home.